It's time now for Super Psychologist, Dr. Mara Karpel, and your golden years.
Welcome to Dr. Mara Karpel and your golden years this evening and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. Central Time. That's 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on blogtalkradio.com and on drmarakarpel.com. And you can hear this evening's program again by going to my website, drmarakarpel.com. That's drmarakarpel. And the link to the podcast will be posted along with any important information about websites, links, and all of that kind of stuff will be posted later tonight or early tomorrow morning. And you can hear this evening's program again as soon as 5 minutes after the show ends by going directly to Blog Talk Radio, that's blogtalkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. And for information about previous shows and to listen to previous shows or about upcoming shows and any other updates, go to my website, drmarakarpel.com, go to blogtalkradio.com/yourgoldenyears, and also follow me on Facebook, Dr. Mara Karpel, Your Golden Years. And if you follow me on Facebook, you'll also find out about all of the other things that are happening, like when my Huffington Post blogs come out each month. And if you want to contact me, send me an email to Dr. Mara at drmarakarpel.com or go through my website or give me a call at 512-626-973. This show is produced by Accomplice Entertainment, Postal Productions, and Spiked Up Productions, and sponsored by Dr. Ronald DeVere, neurologist, memory specialist, and author of the book, Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask. To make an appointment with Dr. DeVere at his memory clinic in Lakeway, Texas, or to purchase a copy of his book, you can call him at 512-261-7909 or send him an email at rdevere, that's R-D-E-V-E-R-E, at austin.rr.com, and his book is also available on Amazon. This program is also sponsored by the Bra Lady, Sonia Das, helping every woman have a perky day. In Austin, call Sonia at 512-898-9058 or go to haveaperkyday.com. This program is also sponsored by StoryHouse. StoryHouse gathers your stories and turns them into multimedia collections that can be shared now and for generations to come. Have StoryHouse over to conduct a private interview in your home or invite them to your next big event or family reunion. StoryHouse, where your memories live. Find out more at yourstoryhouse.com or call 512-296-8752. Today, September 11th, and we are back live in beautiful Austin, Texas, and Art Mendoza of Accomplice Entertainment, producer of the program, is here making the program run. And if this is the first time that you're tuning in, I'm a licensed psychologist from New York City practicing here in Austin, Texas, and the Rio Grande Valley of Texas. And I work with adults of all ages and have a specialty of working with seniors and caregivers. And for the past few years, I've also been evaluating veterans for PTSD. And part of the time, my office is at the wonderful Veterans Resource Center, Heroes Night Out, which is in Cedar Park, Texas. And for information about this great resource for veterans and for veterans' families, you can look them up at heroesnightout.org. All right, so we have a packed show this evening. I do want to mention today is the 15th anniversary of 9/11, and our hearts are a little heavier today as we remember all of those who were lost or whose lives were changed on this fateful day 15 years ago. And I hope that this program can add to finding some inner peace and maybe creating more peace in the world. So that's our goal this evening. And in that vein, our first guest listening, who will be live in our studio in a few moments, and we'll also be videotaping this so that you can watch it later on Vimeo, co-owner of Austin Yoga Tree, Jonathan Troen, will be joining us to talk about the benefits of yoga and meditation to find peace within ourselves and to create more peacefulness in the world around us. And then later in the program, longtime friend of the show, Austin singer-songwriter Lisa Marshall, will be talking with us about her latest music, and we'll be playing some of her great music. And also today is another more celebratory day. It is Grandparents' Day, which is the first Sunday after Labor Day every year. So it just happened to fall on September 11th this year. So I will be talking about all of the wonderful benefits of grandparents, being a grandparent, having a grandparent. And throughout this evening's program, we will have time to take your questions. So if you have any questions or comments for me or for my guests, please feel free to give a call. The toll-free number is 855-345-4720. That's 855-345-4720. Or you can email your question or tweet your question to me, and I will read them on the air to my guests. So my email address, Damara, that's D-R-M-A-R-A at drmarakarpel.com, D-R-M-A-R-A-K-A-R-P-E-L. And my Twitter address is M-A-R-A-E-K. All right, so we're going to take a brief break. Don't go anywhere, because after the break, Jonathan Troen will be right here to talk to us. So don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Super psychologist Dr. Mara Karpel. We'll be back after words from our sponsors.
Are you or a loved one a Medicare beneficiary? Help save you and Medicare money by stopping Medicare fraud. Fraud happens when Medicare is billed for services or supplies you never receive. There are three easy things you can do to fight fraud. Review your Medicare claims for accuracy, protect your personal information, and be on the lookout for suspicious activity. For more information or to report fraud, call Medicare at 1-800-MEDICARE or your local SHIP counselor at the Area Agency on Aging at 1-800-252-9240.
Worried about memory loss? Dr. Ronald DeVere, certified neurologist and director of Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders in Lakeway, has been helping those with dementia and memory loss for over 12 years, specializing in the diagnosis, treatment, and counseling of those with memory loss and dementia. Dr. DeVere also has a book to reduce your worry and fear by knowing the facts. Memory loss, everything you want to know but forget to ask, available now on Amazon.com. Dr. Ronald DeVere, Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders center in Lakeway, and his book, Memory Loss, everything you want to know but forget to ask. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call 512-261-7909.
If you despise bra shopping in the stores, have a complimentary bra fitting at your home or office. It's so convenient. And with 13 styles, including a no-wire bra and 52 sizes A through H cup, Sonia Das, the bra lady, has the bra that's just right for you. What are you waiting for? Call to schedule your personal fitting today and find out what all the ladies love about essential body wear. Call 512-981-8788 or preview the products at haveaperkyday.com and have a perky day. Gravity.
All right, and joining us here in our Austin studio, the co-owner of Austin Yoga Tree, Jonathan Troen is here to talk about finding peacefulness from inside and creating peacefulness in our world through yoga.
Yes,
and
thank
meditation.
You for, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming here today.
Of course.
So maybe you can tell our listeners a little bit about your background.
My background. Well, I mean, some, might call me a serial entrepreneur. I've had various companies. I have a company now called Om Snacks. That's an organic snack company. And now we have our Austin Yoga Tree, our mindfulness retreat in the middle of the city. During my first businesses, I was a part of that thought process of you just work hard, and then you'll be successful, and one day it will all work out and you'll be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And don't get me wrong, I had amazing times, lots of great times, lots of wonderful people, but that real happiness and joy always seemed a little elusive because it was
in the future.
Always over there, and I never got there because as soon as I got here, there was always another there to go to. One day I woke up and I said, I don't know if I like this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I created a new philosophy, and that was, first I'm going to be happy. That is success, so then I'm successful. And now I work hard, but it's because I'm happy and it's fun, and all the work I do is pretty amazing.
So then you went down a different path in your work.
Took a different path.
Mm-hmm.
Really what brought me here to Austin, I wasn't pregnant, but my wife was.
Uh-huh.
So I say we were pregnant even though she did all the work. And back in Los Angeles, I started teaching. I had great successes in my life. And I'm like, well, how do we share how to do it? And how do we share how to do it peacefully? And yoga did become a part of my life. That was following a surgery. Had nothing to do with peace. I just wanted to move my arm again. It was a surgery. Went bad. I did a year of physical therapy. They kicked me out of physical therapy and said, maybe yoga will help you. So I did yoga, and suddenly realized I started becoming calmer. I'm from the Northeast, and we're very proud of our road rage and things like that. And I could beat you on the road. All of a sudden, road rage started going away, and I'm like, well, that's really weird. And then I wouldn't do yoga for a couple weeks because it was at the beginning. I had other things to do, and then I'd get all irritated again and start yelling at people I worked with.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried yoga again and go, not only is my arm moving, am I getting more physically able after the surgery, but my mind was being calmer. And then I started applying that to my work philosophy. Okay, how can we actually create a business that allows us to thrive? So instead of working our lives around everybody else,
mm-hmm.
let's create a life that we actually want to create.
Mm-hmm.
So when we came here, and even in Los Angeles, even as I was teaching this, I had a life coaching practice, life mastery, teaching people how to live just better lives, happy, successful. And then it's just easy to work hard. It's not even working hard, even
right.
though that's what you're doing. But I was also driving around to a lot of different places so I could share the yoga side with people because that was my first entry into it.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have understood that you could be happy if I didn't have that little entryway.
You didn't have that, the yoga.
From yoga. That opened my mind first to, there's just another possibility. And then I discovered what some of the other possibilities were. So when we came here, we said, you know what, instead of driving around everywhere, let's create our life.
Mm-hmm.
We built our own center, invited other people to join us at that center, and it's just a beautiful experience. It's a whole different game when you start creating your life instead of living everybody else's life.
Yeah, I bet. So now let's talk about that peacefulness that you found in yoga. It just so happened that it worked out for you to come today on September 11th,
mm-hmm.
where a lot of people are, I mentioned to you, I woke up just feeling sad this morning, and I didn't even remember when I first woke up that it was September 11th. And I think I just felt everybody's sadness around, and there's so much chaos going on in the world right now. Every day we watch that on the news. So how do we find that peacefulness in spite of us? How does yoga help us to feel peaceful in spite of that chaos around us? And how do we create more peace outside of us?
Well, the first thing to understand is what you said. You said find it inside of us. The first step is to understand that it is inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
Because most people are looking for peacefulness outside of themselves. When this happens, when I get the job, when I get the car, when I get the house, or when he finally acts how he's supposed to act, or when she finally acts how she's supposed to act instead of driving me nuts every day, we want everybody else to change.
Mm-hmm.
And we think once that person or event or whatever it is, once that changes, then we will have that peacefulness. But we also all know that we've had a goal, we've wanted something, and we've gotten it. Everyone's achieved. And then maybe they feel happy for, I don't know, 5 minutes, maybe a week, maybe even a month or 2 months, but eventually that goes away because they're still looking outside of them. So the first step is just to understand that it is inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an understanding of, if you're always thinking about the past, or if you're always thinking about the future, where most of us do, we think about the past and good times we had that we want to repeat. Nothing can ever be repeated. Even when you go, you had a great time on this trip, and now you're going to go to the same place.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's never the same
never
the next
same.
Time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or we think of everything in our lives that we screwed up, everything that we could have done differently. There's no peacefulness in the past. You'll never experience that. Or we think about the future, like we were talking about. I'll be happy when, I'll be happy when.
Right.
The only place you will ever experience peacefulness and joy is in the present moment. You can't do it in the
mm-hmm.
past. You can't do it in the future. And what yoga does, what meditation does, is it simply brings you into the present moment. If you're here, you have a shot of experiencing peace. If you're there, past, future, no shot at experiencing peace.
Mm-hmm.
So the first step is just being present. And there are different aspects of it. There's yoga, which is meditation in action. It's moving.
Mm-hmm.
There's watching your breath. It's also, you can do it washing dishes. If instead of while you're washing dishes, you're just thinking about, when will this be done? Why are there more dishes?
Right.
And I should just be there with the water running over your hands and the soap sudsing.
Mm-hmm.
They've done the research. If you are present in what you're doing, even if you don't like what you're doing, you are much happier than if you're just visioning good thoughts while you're doing it.
Right.
Not that envisioning good things aren't important. It is, but when you do that, that's all you should be doing, is envisioning the future, creating the future, thoughts become things, that whole world. But if you're doing something you don't like, just be with it and experience
mm-hmm.
it. And
mm-hmm.
you'll find that there's peacefulness
it's
in that present
peace.
Moment.
Even if you don't like what you're doing.
Even if you don't like it, because if you fight it, it just gets worse. If you sit there for 8 or 10 hours a day fighting what you're doing, it's just going to be miserable.
Mm-hmm.
If you just take a breath and begin to surrender and go, okay, this is the present moment. Let's accept it. And only from that acceptance can you actually begin to create change.
Right.
Because how many people just try and change, and it doesn't change?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because you've never accepted the present moment, and you will not create lasting change. You'll create non-lasting change. You could do that. But you will not create lasting change unless you accept this moment as it is right now, with all the good and with all the bad.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, as a therapist, you know, I run up against resistance when I talk about accepting this moment, because
mm-hmm.
most people who are coming in for a problem that they want to fix, right, they don't want to accept the present moment. That's why they come for help. I want
yeah.
to change. If I accept it, that means that I don't want to change it. But that's not
no.
what I'm saying at all.
No, it's the only way to change.
Mm-hmm.
And they come in because they think they're broken and they want to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
But they're
right.
not broken.
Right.
There's nothing to fix. You can change, yes. But you'll only change when you begin to understand you're not broken. You're perfect just the way you are. Take a deep breath on that. Be peaceful just for a moment, even with all the heat, the ick that you feel, and I just want this to change. Just be with it. And then, from that place of peacefulness, you can create change. You cannot create change from great resistance, not change that lasts.
Mm-hmm. So, and yoga is one of the ways of accepting the moment?
Well, it brings you to the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
It allows you to experience the present moment. Because in some of these poses, you can't have your mind wandering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can treat yoga as an exercise, and that's awesome. And if you're there just to get your workout and to sweat, that's great. But ultimately, yoga will just do its thing to your brain. It did it to me. I did not go to yoga for peacefulness. I went kicking and screaming. I used to go to punk rock shows every single night. That was my life. I was raging against the world. Everybody was against me. I was against everyone, and that was awesome. That's the way. Happy, not really happy, but the way I thought I was happy living my life.
Right.
And yoga forces you to be in the present moment.
So even though you weren't going for peacefulness, you became peaceful by doing it.
It did it. It did it to me.
Okay.
And then I'm like, huh. I mean, I don't know if I should be sharing this. But literally, my first two yoga classes, horrible experiences. My third yoga class, I went to a different teacher, changed my life. And at the end of it, I felt stoned. I felt the same feeling I felt when I used to smoke pot. And I'm going, huh. You mean you can feel this good and not drink or use substances or anything like that? And I'll never say I quit anything, but I haven't smoked anything in years. I have an occasional drink once in a while with friends, but hardly ever. I drink water most of the time, and it's not because I quit. It's not because it's bad. It's just because those used to take me out of the present moment, which I didn't want to be in, and now I'm just, present moment's pretty cool. I don't need anything to take me out of the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
And it can feel good if you have a practice like yoga, and there are others too. It's not the only one. I felt that same calmness around my whole body. It's fascinating. It is a drug. There are chemicals. Yoga, how you stand changes the chemicals that your body releases. I mean, they've done those studies at Harvard and all
mm-hmm.
these places. If you stand up straight, the chemicals released from your body are different.
Hmm.
So now when you do back bends and forward bends and all these things, it changes the chemicals your glands are producing.
Mm-hmm.
So you feel better.
Okay. Well,
just a better drug without all these other effects.
Right. No side effects.
Yeah. Well, I don't believe in side effects. There are only effects. Some
okay.
that you want, some that you don't want.
Right.
So, and the extra effects of yoga, they're pretty awesome.
So how does that translate to more peace in the world? How do we bring peacefulness into the world by doing our own practice of yoga or meditation?
Yeah, well, you said you woke up this morning feeling sad.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times people will feel emotions and they don't know why they feel it. And it's because whether you like it or not, we're all connected. You're picking up on everybody else. A lot of people lost a lot of other people, lost a lot of things that were important to them. On this day, it is the energy that is in the air, and you're affected by it. They've done research studies on heart cells, and they put them in petri dishes close together, and they start beating at the same rate. So I don't know if they can, do the test for this. They probably can now, but our hearts are going to align. We're connected. So yes, we can transmit sadness. We can transmit anxiety. If you walk into a room, you ever walk into a room and just like, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay? Anxiety can be transmitted from one person to the other, and nothing's wrong with your life, but you walk into the room and now you have everybody else's anxiety. Well, the same thing can happen with peace. The same thing can happen with calmness. The same thing can happen with joy and love, with all of those. You choose to transmit anger, anxiety, or you choose to transmit peacefulness and calm.
So we can affect the world just by focusing on ourselves.
That's right. One of the big things I teach people is how to love themselves. Simply, how to love yourself. How to begin to be kind to yourself. Most of us think we have to help everybody else first, and giving is very important. And you cannot thrive in this world without giving to others. But if you're just a mess, then you can't give fully. So when you can be kind to yourself, when you can love yourself, you can actually begin to give, to help, and to love others completely more fully. So by being kind to yourself and being peaceful with yourself, you transform everyone that walks into your realm, walks into your
mm-hmm.
radar. And once you change them, then they take it with you.
Right. So then it just spreads.
It just spreads. I had this guy once. I used to live in Santa Monica, California, and I used to, before I even knew about all this, I wasn't practicing, I wasn't teaching, I had started yoga, I think, at the time, and I used to make one New Year's resolution every year, and that was to smile at more people. And I remember, I'm walking down Wilshire Boulevard towards the ocean, and this guy on a bicycle is going the other way, and he's got to be, a block down. I don't even see him at first, but he stops. He turns around and comes to me, and he just said, "Thank you for that smile. That
wow.
changed my whole day." And he went on his way. I don't know who
wow.
he was. He doesn't know who I am. You never know whose life you're going to change with
mm-hmm.
even just a smile.
I love that. And I tell people that a lot, too, because I tend to smile at people, and I have reactions like that as well. And it helps me.
Of course.
Right?
Well, because
smile,
you feel it.
Right? Didn't it feel good to smile?
If you give anger, anxiety, that's what you're feeling. If you give joy, that's what you're feeling. So whatever you choose to give, you get to experience it first. If you want to give blame and resentment and be pissed off because that person didn't do what you wanted them to do or because they cut you off in traffic, that's fine. You can send it to them.
And you're going to feel it.
You're going to feel it first, and you're going to feel it more than they will because you're the epicenter, right? It's like the epicenter of the earthquake. Well, it's all here, and then, you know, the little trickles go out there. The guy in the car that cuts you off, he or she's never going to feel it.
Right. So one of the classes that we already had one of your teachers here on the program, Jill White.
Oh, she's amazing.
She was talking about anxiety. She has a class for people who have anxiety.
Yoga for anxiety, yoga for stress release. And she also has once a month she brings in her gongs and we do we call it a gong symphony.
Yeah, I've gone to those are amazing.
Lie back there and it's just like the layers that you don't even know you had are just peeling away. Because we're vibrating beings. We say be still. There's no such thing as stillness. You're vibrating all the time.
So what other kinds of classes do you have over at Yoga Tree?
We have
Austin Yoga Tree.
Austin Yoga Tree. We have a variety of yoga classes. I teach Iyengar yoga. We have vinyasa flow classes. We have restorative classes. We also have mat Pilates classes. We have bar classes. And we also have, which I'm really proud of, I believe we're the only yoga studio that has something like this that's included as a part of a membership package, is our Life Mastery Group Coaching classes,
mm-hmm.
which is, that's where we really get into your brain and rewire your brain so you can live your dream life, not your parents' dream life that they wanted for you, and not what they taught you at school, and not what all the advertisers want you to believe you're not good enough, but if you get this, you will be good enough. So we rewire it from that what we were talking about at the beginning, from where the equation of work equals success equals happy happy equals success equals great work and contribution to the world.
And you mentioned to me that sometimes you help people that are not even in Austin.
Yeah, we have the Life Mastery Group Coaching, and that takes place the first Friday of every month at the studio. But obviously a lot of people need this work, and a lot of people aren't here in Austin, and I do it one-on-one. I do it one-on-one with people in Austin as well,
mm-hmm.
Because the group coaching, it's truly powerful transformational work. I wouldn't do it if I didn't believe in it. And if you want to achieve your goal more quickly, if you're not happy in your relationship, if you're not happy in your career, or you're looking to just start that business that you've had in your mind for 10 or 20 years now and you've just been too afraid to start it,
mm-hmm.
well, now is the time you can start it. So I work with people one-on-one and we just transform their lives so they
mm-hmm.
can begin doing exactly what they want to do. You do not need to wait anymore to be happy. We start today. And then we begin to create our life. We construct it.
And do you have people that are, you know, when people think about starting a new career, they think of young people. Do you have people that are a little bit older?
Absolutely.
Retired.
Oh, I have a lot of, well, it's about transitions. And it doesn't matter when you go through a transition. Change is scary for anyone.
Mm-hmm.
So I certainly have some people that are younger looking to make those life changes. But I get a lot of people that are retired and, again, it's great for the first month. Like, this is great. I don't have to show up. And then they're like,
now what?
What do I do with the rest of my life? Because they're not contributing. They're not giving. And they haven't, even though they've worked hard, even though they've become successful in terms of monetary or things like that, or perhaps they didn't even though they worked hard, but now here they are. They did those two things, and they're not happy. So how do we actually create happiness now from this moment? So I do. I work with a lot of retired people on how to construct this next chapter
mm-hmm.
of their lives.
Okay. Okay, great. And I, you know, I've sent several vets over there who have PTSD,
Thank you.
I understand that you give veteran discounts.
Of course, of course. We give discounts for teachers. We believe that is one of the most important professions in the world because those are the people that are teaching our children. And it would be wonderful if we start teaching this kind of stuff in the schools.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe if we can get it out to teachers, it will get out to the children. But certainly, you know, veterans and also active duty, right? Sometimes we focus on veterans, those that, that have come back, and we must.
Right.
But there's a lot of active duty that come here for periods of time, and there is peace, you know. It doesn't. Everyone's gone through their own trauma, and some people's trauma has been worse than others. And certainly, going through a war zone is a huge trauma. Having some sort of abusive relationship, huge trauma. I can't say that I've been through any of those types of trauma, but it doesn't matter what kind of life you leave. Everyone has their what they would call a trauma for themselves, and we need to begin healing that. And and you know. How we treat the military when they come back, I got to be honest, it just pisses me off. They go out there, they give everything for us, and then they come back here, and we're just not giving to them. So, yes, we have our discounts. If you can't afford with the discount, money will not stop anyone from ever walking into Austin Yoga Tree. We are open to everyone. We do believe if you can't afford it, contribute so the community supports, so that long beyond me, this is a community that continues to grow and support everyone. And for those that can't, we are here for you too.
So how can people find out more?
Well, our website is austinyogatree.com.
Okay.
So you can visit there. Our schedule is there. Our phone number is there. If you're interested in one-on-one coaching, you can also look at me personally at Troen.net, T-R-O-E-N, and as in Nancy, .net, and that will talk about some of the Life Mastery work, although Austin Yoga Tree also has the Life Mastery work there.
Great. Yeah. Well, I'm going to post all of that on my website.
Wonderful.
Well, so people can go there. And I want to thank you so much for coming
this evening.
Thank
you.
Great.
Thank you for sharing
it
and helping others.
And I'd love to have you back sometime.
Would love that.
Okay. So stick around. We're going to take a brief break, and we have more to come, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Any guidance offered by Dr. Karpel is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Karpel, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show.
If you despise bra shopping in the stores, have a complimentary bra fitting at your home or office. It's so convenient. And with 13 styles, including a no-wire bra and 52 sizes A through H cup, Sonia Das, the bra lady, has the bra that's just right for you. What are you waiting for? Call to schedule your personal fitting today and find out what all the ladies love about Essential Bodywear. Call 512-981-8788 or preview the products at haveaperkyday.com. And have a perky day. Gravity.
Please visit us on the web at www.drmaricarpell.com.
And we are back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Myra Carpell in your golden years right here on Blog Talk Radio and on live stream and podcast at drmaricarpell.com. So just to fill you in on a little bit of news for the show, my latest blog was published just 3 days ago in Huffington Post. How to embrace life again after losing a loved one. And you can read that post, that blog post, by going to my Facebook page, Dr. Myra Carpell, Your Golden Years. So it's just Dr. Myra Carpell, Your Golden Years, or go to my website, drmaracarpell.com. And again, it's drmaracarpell.com. And then click on publications or click on blog. Both of those will take you to all of my Huffington Post blogs, including the most recent one. And you can also read all of the other blogs since I've been publishing in Huffington Post since last year. And stay tuned for the next one, which will be coming out next month. And you'll be able to find out when it's available by going to my Facebook page. Also, the previous interview, the interview we just did with Jonathan Trowan, we were videotaping that, and it will be uploaded when it's edited to Vimeo or Vimeo, however you pronounce it, .com, V-I-M-E-O.com, along with all of the other interviews that we have done, that we have videotaped since the beginning of the year right here in the studio. So whenever we've had a guest who has been here in Austin, we have been videotaping, and those will all be uploaded to Vimeo.com. And if you go to Vimeo.com and then put in the search for Dr. Myra Carpell and Your Golden Years, it will take you to my page, and then there are directions for how to view those videos. So be sure to do that, because it's a lot of fun to, in addition to hearing them on the radio. All right, so as I mentioned in the introduction, today is, aside from being a sad day, it's also a happy celebration day. It's National Grandparents Day. And this day, National Grandparents Day, has been celebrated on the first Sunday after Labor Day since 1978, when President Jimmy Carter signed a federal proclamation 8 years after Marion McQuaid, a West Virginia housewife, started a campaign to establish Grandparents Day. Every year, the president, whoever it is, proclaims National Grandparents Day every year. So this year, President Obama made a proclamation again, and talking about the unheralded wisdom and devotion of dedicated grandparents, and how National Grandparents Day honors America's grandparents as the backbone of our communities and acknowledges the progress they forged so that their children and grandchildren could live out their dreams. And President Obama wrote in his proclamation, "In our grandmothers and grandfathers, we see a reflection of what is possible with hard work, grit, and determination. Their fight for inclusivity and opportunity for all can be seen in boardrooms and courthouses across our country, and their efforts help build the world's largest, most durable economy and strongest middle class. This enduring legacy spans generations and will empower innovators and leaders for years to come. He went on to write in this year's proclamation, "Some grandparents sacrificed everything, leaving behind all they knew and loved to fight for freedom far from home or to start a new life and give their families a chance at a brighter tomorrow in America. Millions of grandparents serve as primary caregivers, providing the discipline, guidance, and encouragement needed to thrive. And for so many Americans, our grandparents are our heroes, our confidants, and our fiercest advocates. As connections to our past and inspirations for our future, grandparents made us who we are today and have paved a path we can aspire to follow." So on Grandparents' Day, he wrote, "Today, we pause to reflect not only on the myriad ways our grandparents have enriched our lives with their selfless acts of compassion and kindness, but also on our responsibility to ensure they can retire as they deserve with security and dignity. Let us recognize their lasting contributions to their families and communities, and let us express our gratitude for all they have made possible." And that was proclaimed, that was a proclamation that today, September 11th, 2016, is National Grandparents' Day for this year. Okay, so, you know, I'm sure there are a lot of listeners out there who are grandparents, and to those who are grandparents, happy Grandparents' Day, and who understand how wonderful that role is as a grandparent and how great it feels to be a grandparent. And I think most of us can look back and think about the effect that our grandparents had on our lives. So I was, you know, lucky enough to know two of my grandparents. I didn't know the other two. My father's parents both passed away before I was born. But I knew my mom's parents pretty well. My grandfather only lived until I was 10, but I have very fond memories of my grandfather. And I do remember that his mood would brighten as soon as we walked into the room. So, you know, I know that we had a huge effect on his mood, but I think it affected us knowing that we could brighten someone's mood so much. My grandmother, you know, she lived till she was 85, and so I got to know her pretty well, and I have very fond memories with my grandmother. We used to sit and giggle a lot. She just loved to laugh. At least she did when she was around me or around her grandchildren, and we would make each other laugh till we cried. That's the fondest memory that I have of my grandmother. I also remember that when I used to come home, if she was visiting, she didn't live very far away, and then eventually, actually, she moved into the same building where my parents were living when I was in college. And I would come home on vacations, and if my grandmother was at my parents' apartment when I came home, and she would immediately tell me to take off my white sneakers so that she could clean them. And I thought it was crazy, cleaning your sneakers. But she would take my white sneakers and she would scrub them until they were gleaming. And after that, I would always ask, "Grandma, can you please wash my sneakers for me?" Because she made them like new. And, you know, when I think about my grandmother, I smile a lot. And I know that we made her smile a lot. And I know, you know, it's a very special relationship between grandparents and grandchildren. And I think it's a relationship that is important to foster. It's so powerful that I think that that the idea of having foster grandchildren and foster grandparents is really is a really good idea and a good program for older people who might be very lonely. My mom, when she was a teacher, she used to run a grandparent foster grandparent program for her school district, and she would get parents in, or older people in the community who might have been retired or their children were grown and moved away, and were looking for that connection. And she would get them to volunteer, and they would come in, and they would each become a foster grandparent for a child in her class. And they had multiple activities over the course of the year that involved the foster grandparent and their foster grandchild from the classroom, from her school, to foster that relationship. It was so powerful for the children in the school to have that experience of having a grandparent who came in and gave them advice, cared about how they were doing in school. Maybe they had those moments of just laughing with them, and it was very powerful for these volunteers who became foster grandparents. And so, you know, I think I've seen programs where nursing homes have involved school children in the community, both elementary school and high school age students, where they've been pen pals for each other and then visit each other with the children visiting their pen pal in the nursing home and the nursing home residents visiting the children in the school. And it does wonders for increasing mood for both the students and the nursing home residents, and decreasing depression and feelings of loneliness, and does wonders for increasing the grades of the school children. So I think this is a program that really needs to be enacted in nursing homes more widely spread, because it's so powerful. And children who have their grandparents in their lives, whether they're their grandparent by birth or adopted grandparent or foster grandparent, the research has found that those children actually do better in school. And because they have that attention, the you know, you can have wonderful, wonderful parents who are very loving and very giving, but there's something different about a grandparent. Grandparents, the love that children get from their grandparents is usually so unconditional that the power of that relationship just can't be matched. And like I said, it goes both ways. So let me give you some from comedians about grandparents. Sam Levinson, the comedian, wrote, "The reason grandchildren and grandparents get along so well is that they have a common enemy." and he also said, "The simplest toy, one which even the youngest child can operate, is called a grandparent." Now, that I can say for sure, that most grandparents that I've seen, their grandchildren have them wrapped around their finger. And grandparents will do anything. They'll play any game. The comedian Rita Rudner advised that people should have children while your parents are still young enough to take care of them. And the writer Gore Vidal offered the best advice for bringing out the best qualities in people. And he said, never have children, only grandchildren. So let me give you some statistics about grandparents and grandchildren these days. And first of all, that woman who started this whole grandparent, National Grandparents Day campaign, Marion McQuaid, and her husband, Joe, had 15 children of their own and 43 grandchildren, 15 great-grandchildren, and 3 great-great-grandchildren. So they had a good reason for asking for a day to celebrate being grandparents. Also, another statistic, by the second year of National Grandparents Day observance, in 1979, at that point, in 1979, America had 17 million grandparents. And this number is growing because people are living longer. People are healthier. Grandparents are living longer. And so they're alive to celebrate being grandparents with more grandchildren. Here are some other numbers from the U.S. Census Bureau. This is from 2014, so 2 years ago. 7.2 million was the number of grandparents whose grandchildren under the age of 18 were living with them. So the grandparents were the caregivers. 7.2 million of grandparents who were caregivers. 2.6 million is the number of grandchildren, or was the number in 2014, of grandparents responsible for the basic needs of one or more grandchildren under the age of 18. And of these caregivers, 1.6 million were grandmothers, and 1 million were grandfathers. 547,722 was the number of grandparents responsible for grandchildren under the age of 18 whose income was below the poverty level, compared with the 2.1 million grandparent caregivers whose income was at or above the poverty level. All right. 1.8 million was the number of married grandparents responsible for caring for their grandchildren. 1.5 million was the number of grandparents in the labor force responsible for their own grandchildren under the age of 18. And among those grandparents who were still working and acting as direct caregivers for their grandchildren, 383,694 were 60 years or older. So that number may have increased, but this was based on the 2014 census that was done. And so there are quite a few grandparents who were still working and at the same time supporting and acting as direct caregivers for their grandchildren. 1 million was the number of children who were under the age of 18 living with a grandparent in 2014. And nearly half, or 2.7 million, were under the age of 6 who lived with their grandparent. 3.1 million was the number of children in 2015, last year, who were living with both of their grandparents, regardless of whether they were also living with their parents. So some of those people, some of those grandchildren were in multi-generational households, in addition to those that were being cared for directly by their grandparents. So according to Dr. Carl Tillemer of Cornell University, the relationship between grandparents and their grandchildren is second in emotional importance only to the relationship between parent and child. And as I mentioned, and he found in his study, children benefit when grandparents are involved in their lives, and also grandparents benefit from the relationship with their grandchildren. And a recent study by Boston College found that emotionally, and an emotionally close relationship between grandparent and grandchild is associated with fewer symptoms of depression for both generations. So as I mentioned, I saw older people who had much better moods when they had their grandchildren involved in their life, or even a foster grandchild, one that they just adopted as a grandchild and stayed in touch with through these types of grandparent programs. But this study at Boston College also found that the children, the grandchildren, had less depression, were less likely to be depressed when they had a grandparent involved in their life. So the research that was done at Cornell by Dr. Pillemer found that 9 out of 10 adult grandchildren feel that their grandparents influenced their values and their behaviors. Grandparents tend to transmit to their grandchildren the norms and values of social order. A recent AARP survey of grandparents confirms that grandparents are comfortable giving advice to their grandchildren. So, for example, 78% of grandparents say that they have discussed values with their grandchildren. And grandparents also have that special role of teaching family history, which is really important. And who better to learn it from than from somebody who's been around longer? The grandparents. So as I mentioned, more children have grandparents because of the increasing life expectancy. So while in 1900, less than half of American adolescents had at least 2 living grandparents, figure of how many children have at least 2 living grandparents has increased to in 1976, this was quite a while ago, it increased to 90%. And today, there are about 80 million American grandparents, which is more than a third of the adult population. So more than one third of adults living today are grandparents. And across the nation, intergenerational households are on the rise. So according to the latest U.S. Census figures, 7.5 million children lived with at least one grandparent, even if their parents were living in the house. But so we're talking multi-generational households, which is more than 10% of the under 18 population. So 7.5 million have their grandparents living in the house. And according to the same census figures, 2.7 million grandparents provide for the basic needs of a grandchild. And even more take care of grandchildren on a regular basis, but aren't the primary caregivers. So I mean, we all know people who take care of their grandchildren regularly, even if they don't live in the house with their grandchildren. Another really interesting figure here is that grandparents are an economic powerhouse. So grandparents control an astounding 75% of the wealth in the United States. 75% of the wealth in the United States is controlled by people who are grandparents. Deal of that spending power is put towards grandchildren. A recent survey by MetLife showed that grandparents spend an average of $1,700 on their grandchildren every year. And that support is often used to help pay for their childcare or housing for grandchildren. But it also, of course, comes in the form of gifts. According to the AARP survey, the most common item for grandparents to buy their grandchildren is clothing, and the second is books. And some fun foods, candy and snacks, and toys were also popular gifts from grandparents. All right, so a few more grandparent facts before we wrap this up. The older generation in general are known to be generous with time and money, and this certainly is true for grandparents. Grandparents make donations to nonprofit organizations, according to an American Grandparents Association survey, and 28% of grandparents volunteer on a regular basis. 15% of grandparents have volunteered at shelters for homeless adults. And according to the American Grandparents Association survey, 72% of grandparents think being a grandparent is the single most important and satisfying thing in their life. That's pretty big. Most grandparents think that being a grandparent is one of the most important things in their life. And grandparents put their past parenting experience to use their grandchildren. And according to that same survey, American Grandparents Association survey, it was found that 63% of grandparents say they can do a better job caring for their grandchildren than they did with their own children. And one more thing, today's grandparents are much more active and involved than maybe when I was a child and my grandparents. I tend to see them as old. These days, grandparents are not old. They're very active. 43% of grandparents today exercise or play sports, 18% dance, and at least 15% of grandparents have demonstrated for a cause that they believe in. So they're physically active, politically active, active in their community, volunteering, and as well as with taking care of their grandchildren. And I have spoken before about the benefits of being active, both physically active and remaining active in the community, the benefits for staying younger. So I guess that's starting to catch on, and many of the people who today are called grandma, grandpa, or whatever name that you might want to call a parent, a grandparent, are active, physically active, politically active, active with hobbies, active with jobs. People are working longer. So for all of you out there who are grandparents, I want to wish you a very happy Grandparents' Day, and let's think about, let's spend some time thinking about our grandparents today, if they're not still with us, and trying to remember some of the positive memories that we've had with our grandparents. Okay, so we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. We're going to play a little music, and then we'll be back shortly with much more.
With love.
All right, and we are back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Karpel in your golden years on Blog Talk Radio and on live stream and podcast at drmarakarpel.com. And now joining us once again, an old friend of this program, the soulful singer, songwriter, musician, Austin's Lisa Marshall. And we were just playing one of her songs. Good evening, Lisa.
Hey, how are you?
I am well. It's been a while. How have you been?
It has been a while. I've been wonderful. How about yourself? It seems like you're doing very well.
Yes, things are going great. Things are going great. And what have you been up to since we've been on the program last?
Oh, just writing more songs, recording, and playing kind of regular shows around town, and getting ready to do a 4-song EP in Memphis. So I'm pretty excited about that.
So you're recording in Memphis?
Yeah. I'm going to have an opportunity to work at Royal Studios, which is an infamous soul record company or record studio. Al Green and Ann Peebles and Tina and Turner, all kinds of people have recorded there.
Wow. That's great. Congratulations.
I know.
That's wonderful. And I've seen your post. It looks like you've been playing around Austin quite a bit.
Yeah, we have. We've been doing a residency for a while. Now we're going to pick up a new one over at a place called Stay Gold over on the east side, East Cesar Chavez, every first and third Wednesday starting in November.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And have you been playing outside of Austin, or has it mainly been Austin recently?
It's mainly been Austin. We're focusing on getting to Europe as well. Not so much touring the U.S. at the moment. We just want to kind of get overseas and see. I feel like that's going to be a really good fit for the style of music that we do. And we got a show also coming up at Antone's October 4th, and that's at 11:30 p.m., and, yeah, just kind of taking it as it comes, you know, and focusing on writing more tunes and working out the details of those songs between the guitar parts and harmonies, all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Have you put out any new recordings since we've been on the program?
I have not. Into a place called Mesa Studios and recorded a single. And we're still working on getting harmonies and things like that onto that single. They don't have to be mixed and mastered, and then we'll release it after that.
Cool, cool. So let's talk about some of your music. So we just played one of your songs. Was that anything that we just played?
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that song?
It's a love song. It's just kind of acknowledging that, you know, you go through things with your partner, but in the end, it's really okay. It's just part of life and part of each other growing in their own way, and you figure it out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what it was like, a mid-tempo love song inspired by the early days of Stax Records and such.
We're going to play another one of your songs now, Day After Day. You want to talk about that before we play it?
Yeah, that was really inspired by Curtis Mayfield, the way he would approach songwriting with his kind of hooks that would come back around within the song, and also the kind of 60s movement lyrically for, you know, just equal rights for everyone. For humanity and kind of saying, you know, saying we got to kind of get together and make this happen for everyone, not just, you know, not for specifically ourselves, but everybody. And so that's kind of what that was inspired by.
Okay. All right. So hang on. We're going to come back and talk a little more, but we're going to play that song right now.
Okay. you.
Is that a new song?
Yeah, these are all pretty fairly newer original songs that haven't really been recorded in the studio. We had this recorded at 1-to-1 Bar when we were doing a regular residency there.
Mhm. Mhm. So you've been pretty busy writing music, haven't you? Writing songs.
Yeah. Yes and no. It's funny. I kind of go in spurts. I get a bunch out, and then I'm constantly working on kind of shaping and molding them. You know, with all the parts and feel and oh well, let's try it this way. And we're still doing that at rehearsals, trying to, especially myself and the lead guitar player, trying to figure out, like, okay, what are we doing here? How can we complement each other and not get in the way of each other? So,
mm-hmm.
And then I've got a few other songs that are just kind of sitting there in the works that I haven't really finished. But, you know, I'll be working during the day or something, all of a sudden, like, ooh, the verse will come to me, and I'll just start writing the lyrics or a melody. So I'll sing it into my phone, and then I'll just sit down in GarageBand and start picking things apart and trying to put it all together.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's a fun process.
Yeah, it sounds like it. So, what are some ways that people can, or what's a way that people can find out where you're playing around Austin and how to download some of your music?
Probably the best way is lisamarshallmusic.com. That's my website. I know that at least one of my albums is on Spotify and iTunes, Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some other ways too to kind of find the music.
Okay.
But definitely the shows will be listed on my website for sure.
Okay. And when are you going to record? When is that?
It'll probably be after spring next year, where there's another show. It's a show that I do in Seattle with some friends of mine that. One of the girls was one of my backup singers, and her husband, who played drums on a couple of the tracks of my first solo album. And they put together this kind of tribute to the 60s, and it's very well done with a live band and horns, and they just kind of spice up the different era of the 60s. And it's, you know, I go and do a couple of songs, and so I think they'll probably focus on that first. And it's
mm-hmm.
Eric Manigold is his name, and he's the one who's kind of starting this kind of record label publishing company. So it was through his idea and connection to get to Royal Studios and record a four-song EP. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that'll be probably after next spring.
Yeah, probably May, June, sometime
that.
And I'm just so excited because I really love Memphis. I was there last fall, and they are just really doing such a grassroots movement to kind of bring that city out of its slumber. You know, after Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was shot, it just kind of slid backwards and really took a very long time to recover. And they're really kind of
mm-hmm.
rallying and coming back strong. It's really exciting.
That's great. Great. Well,
yeah.
Good luck with all of that.
Thank you.
So you said the next big show that you're doing is at Antone's on October the 4th?
That is correct, yes.
Okay. And I'll put that on my web post about the show, and people can go to your website to find out everywhere else that you're playing. Right?
Oh, excellent. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So before we go off the air, we're going to play the third song that you sent us. So, but before we stop talking, why don't you tell us about that song? It's Higher.
Ray, and this is Higher was kind of I love kind of dreamy, almost arrangements that Isaac Hayes would do a lot on his music. So it was inspired by that. And you know, obviously when we play live, we don't have an entire string section and such, but there are an entire string arrangement that goes with this song, and it's got a slightly little different vibe even as a demo, but it really was just about, you know, the kind of positive, feel-good, almost neo-soul, classic soul vibe to it. So that's what this song is all about, with the wah-wah pedals and
Okay. All right. And we're going to play that song as we go off the air. So thank you so much, Lisa, for coming back on the program.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
And you have to come by, come back again sooner. Don't be a stranger.
Okay. I would love to.
Well, we have to come see you as well.
Yes, it would be great. It'd be great.
Yes. All right. Well, you have a good evening.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. And we'll see you soon.
All right. Take care.
All right. So before we go off the air, let me just tell you what's happening next week, and then we're going to play Lisa Marshall's song, Higher. Next week, Sunday, September 18th, we'll be back here live from the from 8 p.m. Eastern. And live in the studio will be Jackie Vecchio, author, speaker, and certified master transformational life coach. And she'll be talking about helping women live happy, authentic lives at any age. And also musician Eric Betancourt will be joining us. And Laura Galazunas will be back to report in from the retirement community, Puerto Vallarta. And if you want to hear tonight's program again and read the information from this show, get the links to the websites that we talked about, or read about upcoming shows, listen to previous shows, read my blogs in Huffington Post, then go to everything is at my website, drmaracarpel.com. And also, be sure to follow me on Facebook, Dr. Mara Carpel, Your Golden Years. And you can listen to this evening's program in as soon as 5 minutes from now by going directly to Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/Your Golden Years. This evening's program was produced by Accomplice Entertainment, Postal Productions, and Spiked Up Productions, and sponsored by neurologist and memory specialist Dr. Ronald DeVere, by Sonia Das, the Bra Lady, and by Story House. And special thanks to my guests, Jonathan Trowan, Lisa Marshall, and of course, thank you, Art. Thank you all for listening. Have a peaceful night and inspiring week. And remember, youth has no age. Good night, everyone. Peace.
Now they understand us, what we're here.
Any guidance offered by Dr. Karpel is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Karpel, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show.